The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good to see everybody here this morning. Glad that God has gathered us together in person. I was glad to see many of you online last week. But since, as I was telling you about Bible class, during the pandemic, we never closed. So we had people here in church the whole time. And so that was really, for me, last week. And no offense to Remo at all. But he does not, substitute for all of you together. So preaching to a largely empty sanctuary was a little different for me. Even during Snowmageddon, when we were online for Ash Wednesday that year, it was at my kitchen table, right? So it was not, it was different, but it wasn't preaching to an empty sanctuary. So that was a little weird for me last week, and it's nice to have you all here today. And still also glad to have other people online, but having people in the sanctuary is definitely a blessing. So, for our time of catechesis, we are continuing with the Lord's Prayer. On the second petition, page 324, if you need it, what is the second petition?
Thy kingdom come.
What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we may believe His Holy Word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity.
So, a number of things. I mean, first of all, those of you who remember your small catechism instruction, remember that we also distinguish between God's kingdom of grace, His kingdom of power, and His kingdom of glory. Maybe not in that order, maybe His kingdom of power, kingdom of grace, and then His kingdom of glory. So here, Luther doesn't go into that. He just sort of takes the kingdom coming as the coming of the Holy Spirit, who comes to us through God's means of grace. So the word and the sacraments are not just means of grace, but they are means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given in these ways. And then the kingdom comes to us insofar as we believe His word and then lead lives according to it, both here in time and ultimately in God's presence. In heaven, in the restored heaven and earth for eternity. So there's a believe and a do aspect that we will see throughout the other petitions as well. Another way that we see similarities between this explanation and the other, the one before it that Pastor Adler covered 2 weeks ago when I was on vacation, and then the one that we will cover here next week, is that these things happen in and of themselves. God's name is holy in and of itself. His kingdom comes and His will is done. But we specifically pray in the Lord's Prayer that it be done so among us, that His name be holy among us, that His kingdom come to us, that His will be done among us. And so that emphasis on it happening for and to and with us is present in these explanations of these first three petitions as well. Other comments or questions there about any of that? All right. The preparation for setting one is on page 151. Invite you to turn there and please stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the book of Malachi, the sixth chapter. Hear what the Lord says. Arise. Plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Preserve me, O God.
For in you I take refuge.
O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent?
Who shall dwell on your holy hill?
He who walks blamelessly and does what is right,
and sees truth in his heart.
Who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor.
Nor takes up a reproach against his friend.
in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord.
Who swears to his own hurt and does not change.
Who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent.
He who does these things shall never be moved.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Preserve me, O God.
For in you I take refuge.
The epistle reading is from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, but the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice
and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 842. Join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Getting summoned for jury duty may be the closest that most of us get to being involved in the country's justice system. Sure, we likely have seen reality TV shows such as The People's Court, Judge Judy, and in this state, I probably should add, Texas Justice. And then there is the news, which in cases such as Friday's tortured and strange ruling that removed murder charges against accused healthcare CEO killer Luigi Mangione sometimes seems less real than reality TV. And yet there is another very real justice system in which each one of us is involved in a case that ultimately results in either our blessedness of eternal life or our torment of eternal death. In today's Old Testament reading, the Lord, through the prophet Micah, announces the Lord's indictment and contends with his people, including us, calling them and us to plead our case before the mountains and hills and enduring foundations of the earth, essentially as the jury, if not also as those subject to judgment from humankind's sin. Considering primarily today's Old Testament reading, with the help of the Holy Spirit, this morning we direct our thoughts to the theme, Your Case Before the Mountains. Today is the first of the only two green Sundays that Pilgrim has this Epiphany season. Since the past 2 weeks, we observed respectively the feast of the Confession of St. Peter and the conversion of St. Paul. Our appointed gospel readings, these two green Sundays, resume the more or less continuous reading of St. Matthew's divinely inspired gospel account. And the appointed Old Testament readings are selected to correspond in some way to the appointed gospel reading, while the appointed epistle readings are a more or less continuous reading of part of 1 Corinthians. So today we have, in the Old Testament reading, reproaches, such as those we usually hear on Good Friday, specifically asking God asking his people and us what he has done to them and to us, how he has wearied them and us, and demanding their and our answer. The questions are taken as ironically suggesting that God was to blame for Israel's failures and is to blame for our failures. When in fact, as Micah says, God had acted in four specific ways to save the people of Israel, bringing them up from the land of Egypt and redeeming them from the house of slavery, sending before them leaders such as Moses and Aaron and Miriam, turning their enemies' desired curses upon Israel into blessings, and leading the people victorious into the promised land of Canaan. In response to such salvation, the Lord expected then, and expects now, responses that his Holy Spirit tries to create of sorrow over sin and faith that trusts God to forgive the sin for the sake of his Son, the long-promised Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. That faith does good works, such as the people of Israel's making sacrificial offerings, like some of those mentioned in today's Old Testament reading. And, like their and our, as are also unmentioned, doing justice, loving kindness or mercy, and walking humbly with God. Similarly, today's psalm expects us to do things such as speak truth in our heart, not slander with our tongue, do no evil to our neighbor, nor take up a reproach against a friend. None of that. Neither the people of Israel did perfectly, nor do we do perfectly. So on account of our sinful nature and all of our actual sin, we deserve both death here now and torment in hell for eternity. In vain did the people of Israel, and do we, without contrition and faith, try to come before the Lord with burnt offerings, try to please him with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil, or try to satisfy him even by the forbidden sacrifice of a firstborn child, as the pagans sacrifice to their gods, perhaps in a perverted imitation of God's prompting Abraham willingly to offer his only son, Isaac, whom he loved. For truly, there is nothing we can give in return for our souls. Rather, our souls are redeemed by God. God loved the world by giving his only son, Jesus, whom he loved, to death on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish as deserved, but have eternal life. God's through his son, Jesus' death and resurrection, delivering us from our sinful nature and from all of our actual sins, whatever our actual sins might be, is far greater than God's bringing the people of Israel up from the land of Egypt and redeeming them from the house of slavery, than his sending before them leaders such as Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, than his turning their enemies' desired curses into blessings, and his leading the people victorious into the promised land of Canaan. In the verses after today's Old Testament reading, the Lord, through the prophet Micah, declared his guilty verdict upon the people. But in today's gospel reading, Jesus, having gone up a different mountain, sat down and opened his mouth and declared a different verdict, namely that we are blessed as we are in him. As the divinely inspired St. Paul wrote in today's epistle reading, Christ became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God, even if that power is hidden in humble means. Like God's word revealed to his people of Israel through faithful prophets such as Micah, so also God's word revealed to his people of his church through faithful apostles such as Paul and their successors, including pastors today, that word affects the contrition and faith that we need in order to receive God's forgiveness through his word. Whether his word is read or preached to groups such as this group, or whether his word is applied to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, or with bread and wine that are Christ's body and blood given and shed for us in the Holy Supper. Especially as we are baptized into Christ, what he is, we become. But in all of these ways, God forgives us, declaring and making you not guilty of his original charges against you in your case before the mountains. As God declares and makes you not guilty of his original charges against you in your case before the mountains, God transforms you so that you at least want to and actually begin to do the things that you should do, even if you only want and begin to do them imperfectly. Doing justice, loving kindness or mercy, and walking humbly with God. Speaking truth in our heart, not slandering with our tongue, doing no evil to our neighbor, nor taking up a reproach against a friend. being poor in spirit, mourning, being meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart, making peace, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, and being reviled and slandered on Jesus' account. In this life, we will still never do anything perfectly, but in Christ, we are both forgiven of our failures and credited with his perfection. So the kingdom of heaven is ours, and we will be comforted, inherit the earth, be satisfied, receive mercy, see God, be called sons of God, and have a great reward in heaven. Even when we ourselves might be on the jury, the country's justice system remains imperfect, as it is with other cases that might be in the news or treated on reality TV. However, with your case before the mountains, God's justice is perfect. Although we deserve temporal death and eternal torment, God instead punishes his innocent son and sets free us who, with contrition and faith, through his word and sacraments, receive his grace for Christ's sake. So we have his peace and joy already now. And in the words of today's psalm, we shall sojourn in the Lord's tent and dwell on his holy hill forever.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. With thanksgiving for his perfect justice, and for the sake of his Son, his not guilty verdicts against us in his case against us before the mountains, for us and for all who believe, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through God's word and sacraments, we in contrition and faith might ever receive his forgiveness and do the good works that flow from faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that she might preach Christ crucified, for those persecuted on Christ's account, that they might rejoice and be glad. For those with oversight responsibility in the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, to hold pastors and congregations to their commitments to teach and practice according to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions, for pastoral candidates to be called and for pastoral vacancies to be filled, for God to bless James and Crystal's work in Puerto Rico, and for this congregation, that God would return absent members, prosper our Sunday school, multiply our stewardship of his gifts, and direct us in our upcoming open forum. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all the baptized, that we might be strengthened against all temptation, especially temptations to sexual sin and to despair, and that we might do justice, love kindness or mercy, and walk humbly with our God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed, that God would work through us to reach them, that they also might sojourn in his tent and dwell on his holy hill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather and for God to rescue, relieve, and restore to all those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, flooding, extreme winter weather, earthquakes, and volcanoes, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially for a functional federal government and civil relations with and between the states, for the safety of non-combatants in war zones, especially innocent women and children, for all those who govern us on every level of government, that they would approve of those who do good and carry out God's wrath on those who do wrong, for all people to be good citizens, and for all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments, that they might be protected, upheld, and granted discernment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Brady, David, Charles, and all those who travel, whether for work or pleasure or by land, sea, or air, that their ways may be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they would be comforted, for victims of violent crime, that they would be made whole again, for those imprisoned in their families, that they would have hope and patience, for those shut in and otherwise homebound, that God, through his word and sacraments, would be present with them where they are, and for David, Lana, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Mary Sue, Bob, Jim, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing, that God would deliver them from their afflictions in his way and time. And to that end, for all those who serve in medical professions, that they would have all necessary wisdom and skill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that parents might not give their children for their sins, but raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. For all expectant mothers and their children to be brought safely through delivery. For all God's people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content in their circumstances. And for God to bless all schooling, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for God's gifts of physical and spiritual life to Lena and Brandy, for them, that God would continue to grant them physical life according to his will, help them to remember and use their baptisms, and preserve them in their baptismal grace all the days of their physical lives, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he He took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
True body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve the human body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. Shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Phoenix, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you in your God.
Thank you.
is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you peace. Please be seated a moment. Again, it's good that God has gathered all of us here together this day to receive his gift of forgiveness and word and sacraments. Glad still others can join us live online and stream and download later. You may not have realized what an ecumenical experience that last hymn was. Paul Gerhardt, a staunch Lutheran hymn writer, translated by John Wesley, very mildly, yes, is not a Lutheran. Common ability to express the deep love of God for us in Christ. And it's a wonderful hymn, and I don't know that we were singing it here when I got here, that you all were singing it, Carl, maybe to a different tune or something. But in this hymnal, that's such a lovely setting of it, and it's a blessing to be able to sing that. Anyway, as I mentioned at the beginning, glad all of you are here in person, because it's better than just Remo and the camera. Again, no offense, really. Glad to have Tracy back. She's been in the hospital in and out so many times, you've lost count, I'm sure, in the last few months. Glad to have Amelie here. But the question is, what did you do to know
that? I just got a text this morning, and he said he couldn't drive today.
Aww.
So I made Josh drive.
Well, that's Josh next to here. And thank you for driving, Amelie. Yes. And glad to have the Schultzes here. And our friend from Montana, Helen.
Joan.
I'm thinking about team support in Montana. And everyone else is official, right? So, good. So glad to have everyone here. A couple announcements to make. One is, if you are interested in driving to Dallas this afternoon, the Reverend James Ebersol is going to be installed as senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Dallas this afternoon at 3 o'clock. The postcard arrived in the mail on Friday, which seemed like really short notice until you remember that we didn't have mail for a week. And so it probably would have come with a little bit more notice had the mail come. What's the motto, Ellen? Neither sleet nor snow nor dark of night will keep the mail from its...
Yes, but it doesn't mention ice.
Snow. I think it was mostly done by people up north. So delivering the mail.
Just so you know, there was no mail to deliver until Wednesday. Or Thursday.
Yeah, because the trucks
couldn't get here. Is that what I'm saying?
The distribution center in Shreveport couldn't ship mail.
Well, we all know that they won't sort the Kilgore mail here at the Kilgore station. It has to go to Shreveport. And you sort it on the Kilgore. So there are tax dollars at work. And there's a reason why the stamp is 79 cents an hour or whatever it is. The 15-2 folk will gather today. Feel free to stay for lunch. Cribbage, all of that, even if you just want to stay and visit with people. Bible class continues, midweek Bible study this Wednesday. We'll begin the book of Amos. Next Sunday, we'll have a congregational meal and the open forum on walking together. That will, I am sure, be done in time for the other big event on Sunday. That some of you might be watching on television or something like that. With some halftime show that I am definitely not watching.
Yes.
Just the bad funny name itself. Not something you want to watch. If you are willing to help with a midweek soup, salad, supper during Lent,
there'll be a sign up sheet next week.
Talk to Joy today, and there'll be a sign up sheet next week. Also, if you're willing to help. This is really planning ahead. If you're willing to help provide some material for the plastic eggs for the egg hunt, there's information on that in the bulletin as well. Other announcements?
Last Sunday was Loose Change Sunday.
Yes, and Remo did not contribute here.
But the box is always out there. You don't have to wait till Sunday to bring your change or get a spare dollar or whatever.
Yes. Feel free to use that large white box at any time. Those contributions go to the Lutheran Women Missionary League or Lutheran Women in Mission, now it's called, and support mission grants in Texas and around the world. Other announcements? I look forward to greeting you all.